Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
Well, we are continuing our series called Well-Rounded. And where I'd like to start is that it's kind of hard just to be here at times, right? And not like here at Cloquet Vineyard, big fan of Cloquet Vineyard, right? It's really easy when you hear my smooth talking voice, right? But sometimes it's hard to be in the moment, like with everything that's going on. And regardless of what's going on, there's like sometimes we feel like, oh, our time in history is the hardest it's ever been. And people who are older than me like roll their eyes like, oh, yeah, right? Like the civil rights was really easy. So it's like it's hard. It's hard just to be present. Like when you hear there's a caravan coming, and it's not my minivan, even though it's great, right? Like all these immigrants are coming, and they're like 1,000 miles away. But you also get a little bit alarmed, right? And then there's the bomb mailings, and you feel a little bit different about your mail, and you're checking in, and then you're worried about like getting the same question every day from your husband that says, "Hey, Nikki, do you know where my hat is?" And she just about loses it because she's like, "It's right where you left it, right?" Or you're thinking about the mortgage. Did I pay the mortgage? Do I have a mortgage? Should I have a mortgage? Did I pay the car insurance bill? Did I turn in that term paper from 20 years ago? And why am I still thinking about that? And then basketball tryouts are coming out, but you're a grown man. You don't have to do it, but you still get nervous. Like, you know where I'm going? Everyone's like, "Yeah, you nailed it right on the head, Chris." It's hard to be present at times. It's harder to be just in the moment because of what's happening in our world, what's happening in our head, what's happening in our home, what's happening in our bodies. Like, there's a lot of stuff pulling us different directions. Well, there's this person, this comedian I once heard, he said, "Everything is amazing and everyone's terrible." Right? Everything's amazing, but everyone's terrible. Meaning, right now, we have science, we have technology and medical progression, things that we've never could even dream of that are like with us right in the palm of our hand, right? From our iPhones to pacemakers to Jack's Pizza, all right? An actual modern phenomenon of science, right? We have some amazing things, but does it lead us to actually be content? Does it ever lead us to just be like, "Oh, that is enough. I am enough. I am okay. Maybe I am happy"? For a lot of us, like we'd probably maybe fall into the terrible part. And maybe you feel anxious, maybe you feel stress, maybe you feel pain. I know for a lot of you, what you're experiencing is some hellish things. So how can we actually be here? Like really be present. And that's what we're going to talk about. Maybe even just being present, but maybe even being like we like where we are. Maybe experiencing even just a little bit of enjoyment or joy in our life in the midst of all the craziness that's going on. And I believe that's what a well-rounded person can do, a Jesus-looking person. Like where the whole series we've been talking about is like if we say we want to be a Jesus-looking person, what kind of things should we be seeing in our life and through our life? We talked about being generous with our time, of engaging other people, and a lot of other good stuff. And I think that we can actually enjoy life. We can actually maybe even have fun. And I say that, and I say the word, I avoid using the word fun. It's actually one of our core values as a community. It is fun. We put that in there. And a lot of people, they're like, "Psh, fun? What a waste of time. I'm going to work till I'm dead. All right, let's go." Or they think, "We got some real, real spiritual stuff we got to do, Chris, right? Like some serious Bible reading, all right? We got to read the Bible, and that's not fun, but that's holy." And so we usually will balk at the idea of fun. If we use like a spiritual word like joy, right? And it's Christmas time, you can use the word joy, and you're like, "I can feel joy as long as I'm really serious." And maybe you don't feel that way, but there's a lot of people that feel this way. How do I know? Because you told me. Several weeks ago, we did a talk on why church. All right, I thought it was pretty good. All right, slap myself on the back. So, and you can find all our podcasts at cloquetvineyard.org. Shameless plug. So, but part of the reason I asked, I said, "Why do you go to church?" And I did a very scientific research called Facebook, right? And people talked to me, and honestly, this is what they said. I went out to one person, I said, hey, I would love to hear, why do you go to church? And they're like, well, I probably should say Jesus. But honestly, I'm like, what are they going to say here? Like, if I was honest, I'd tell you, I go because there's coffee in the lobby, and I get to see people, and I get to laugh. I heard that from a ton of people, and they felt a little bit of shame. They felt a little bit of guilt of saying, they're like, oh, I probably should say your message since I'm talking to you, and you're the one who talks, right? But really, it's just being present in the lobby and seeing my friends and meeting new people. I had one parent tell me, I'm like, so why do you go to church? They're like, you want to know the real reason? They looked around like shifty eyes. You want to know what's really going on, right? And she said, it's so I can be away from my kids for 30 minutes. Right? Is there any other parents out there? Raise your hand if you're in that category. We're looking at you. Thank you. It's the only two we raise your hands. Okay. I was in that category too. Don't worry, all right? Because why the distance? Why, if it's life-giving, if part of why you want to come to church is to be with people, why do we deem that as not spiritual? If it's life-giving to show up at a person's house, you can have church at that table over a cup of coffee and actually enjoying one another. There is life-giving things, but we separate the two. And there's a lot of reasons why we do it. I'd like to just hit them quickly. One of the reasons that we think, oh, enjoyment or fun is not a spiritual practice, only like the serious, like we got to worship till we cry, or we have to read the Bible till we cry, we have to pray till we cry. Usually crying's a very spiritual thing, right? Like, why? Here's one reason, is original sin. This is a very, if you are a theological nerd like me, you're welcome, all right? I just read a book on this. And the whole idea of original sin is that can I say this? I've never used this word on stage before. When the semen and the egg combine, right? You guys are like, what kind of church are we in right now, right? Right? There is a miracle that's happening. It's biological, it's scientific, right? But it's also a miracle. Those are not separate things. Science and miracles, sometimes we put them in camps like, boo, we hate each other. Like, to me, they're together. So it's a miracle that's happening. But if you believe in original sin, at that beautiful things as this human life is beginning to form and it's getting cells and a brainstem and a spine and fingernails, you're saying at the deepest part, at the same moment this beautiful thing is happening, there is evil and darkness in that thing. Not the thing, in that human. Excuse me, in that human. Original sin says as soon as conception, as soon as life begins, at the part of it, at the core of it, is darkness. And you're like, well, that's what it is. And it's pulled from this one verse that Paul uses in the New Testament, talking about how through one man we have sinned through all of it, and I would argue we can geek out about that later, right? But if you believe that, at the deepest part of your existence is sin, is evil, is darkness, then you're gonna look at this worldview of God, this worldview of your friends, this worldview of your body and yourself, of saying, I don't deserve good things. And you might not use that word, but if you feel like at the deepest part of me is shame, is evil, is then you're going to always strive to work just a little bit harder to convince yourself, to convince others, maybe even convince the divine, no, I'm worth it, God. I believe the deepest part of you is light. The deepest part of you is when the divine looks at everything created and he looks at the humans, he looks at the woman and says, you are good and flourish. He says, you have dominion. Again, not just man. Any man that says, oh, he only chose man. No, he looks at the woman, he looks at the man, and says, I've created you out of the image of me, the God, and you have dominion over all things, meaning you can flourish. Now that's beautiful. So why else? Okay, so there's original sin, we can't have fun. That's not spiritual. Or we have to like pretend that we're not having fun at church, even though we really are having fun, right? The other reason is the temple, where heaven meets earth. In a very specific place. For thousands of years, this is how people, not just the Israelites, but like people worship God. You wanted to experience the divine? You went to a temple. It was very normal. The Israelites were not the first people to come up with temple worship. But they believed this is like where they had the ark. It's wherever the ark was, is like that was a place where heaven, like let's pretend heaven's up there, right? And it came down and hit that very specific place. And it was a beautiful thing. It was a symbol, it was a demonstration, it was a worship, it was practice of that God is not somewhere else. God is not on some cloud out there ready to like, you know, damn you, right? He like God is like in the present, in the moment, he is near. But something happens. The word became flesh and blood. God became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. That's Jesus. That's John in John chapter 1. And Jesus starts walking around and he tells people, hey, if you see me, you see my Father. And if you see my Father, you see me. And he goes around talking to people. He walks by this whole temple where they worship, where God met earth. And he said, hey, you see these huge, huge stones? Took forever, decades to build. He goes, hey, yeah, you know what? Like, I'm going to rip that down. I'm going to take it down because I'm Jesus. In 3 days, I'm going to build it all right back up. And the people around him, his disciples, his interns are looking around like, this guy is nuts. Right? Thank you for laughing. So that one, all right? And then he goes on further later, and he's walking. He wants him to drink, so he sits down with this woman who was scandalous, and she says, my people who are viewed less than, we have our temple. We know you people have your temple, the Israelites. And which one's right? And Jesus goes, hey, essentially, this is Chris' version. Hey, I'm happy for you. That's great. You have your temple. We have our temple. But just so you know, like the whole temple thing, it's really not as important anymore. He goes, there's going to come a day, right? He's foreshadowing to something that's happening where God is everywhere, where the divine, where heaven, like the good and beautiful life is radically available to not some specific place, but everywhere. And what I mean by that is if we believe like, oh, we can only experience the best part of God at this specific church. I love this church. I honestly do. When I watch you guys, I'll be here like at 10 to 10 and there's no one in the auditorium. I'm like, well, pack up. It was a good run. We had a good run at it. And then like people start coming in, they're laughing and they're, I was going to say shaking fives. They're high-fiving and shaking hands, right? Shaking $5 bills, right? People are enjoying one another. I love this community. But you can experience a good and beautiful life outside of these beautiful orangish-yellowish chairs. Like, you can experience God while driving your car. You can experience God by sleeping in. You can experience the divine going for a long run or at yoga in the morning. When laughing with a friend, you can experience it. And sometimes we put a circle around saying, oh, it's only in these places. And whenever we do that, we limit ourselves. Now, I'm not advocating for you to like never come to church again. That's not, you're saying, this is a weird church. Talking about semen and eggs, and he tells us not to come to church, right? But I'm saying, like, God is radically available. But if you feel like only the good places, only good stuff happens at this place, then you're not going to enjoy life everywhere you go. And the last one is this, that joy is just the absence of pain, fear, laundry. What else did I put one more there? Answers the question of where are my gloves 40 times a day, right? You can experience joy in the midst of all those things. Joy is just not like, when I get through this grading period, when I lose the next 10 pounds, when I get to vacation, when I get married, or when I have a kid, or when I get a dog, or when I get a house, or I get the better house, or the bigger house, whatever you fill in that blank, there's something we feel like, no, that's the good life future. And we rob ourselves, friends. You can experience joy, because joy is just not happiness. Happiness is like the endorphins going. It's like a feeling you have. Joy lets you soar over all of life. It goes so much higher than happiness. And we see this throughout the Bible. I call it an Ecclesiastes kind of life, right? Ecclesiastes is one of my favorite books in the Bible. If you want to read a great book, right? If I'm going back to my theological friends, right? There's a book by Peter Enns all about Ecclesiastes, and it blew my mind. Because Ecclesiastes is messy. I'm going to tell you. If you think that the Bible is this cute little story of like a guy with a beard, Moses, and he's walking through with his friends, and there's Noah, like, come on, animals, let's go for a ride, right? It is messy. It is complicated. It is real life. It's vulnerable, and it's why I love it. It's nuanced. Because listen to what happens here in Ecclesiastes, right? It says this. Oh, let me get to it. But in the end, does it really make a difference what anyone does? It's a great question. I've had a good look at what God has given us to do, busy work mostly. True, God made everything beautiful in and of itself in its time, but he's left us in the dark. So we can never know what God is up to, whether he's coming or going. So I've decided that there's nothing better to do than go ahead and have a good time and get the most of what we can in life. That's it. Eat, drink, and make the most of your job. It is God's gift. I've also concluded that whatever God does, that's the way it's going to be always. No addition, no subtraction. God's done it, and that's it. That soul will quit asking questions and simply worship in holy fear. Whatever was, is, whatever will be, is. That's how it always is with God. Now, I love it because I feel like this is some like 85-year-old grandpa who's just sitting in his chair. He's like, I'm really happy for you. But it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Right? And like some millennial is like, no, but we're going to change the world. He's like, no, no, you're not. It's not ever going to change. Right? I love it. And what happens, this person is this teacher. He's like a kind of like a professor or like a rabbi. And he's teaching his students. And he goes he is all over the map. Like from Ecclesiastes 3 and you get all the way to 11. It just is crazy stuff. But there's this theme throughout it. And it's like, because honestly, does God leave us in the dark? If you just, this is the danger of just taking out like little verses to put on pillows, right? Seriously, you got this is very, very good. When you just take this little verse and says, God leaves us in the dark and we don't know anything. Is that true? Because in John 5, Jesus and my Father is always at work and he's always inviting us to participate and he loves to show us what he's doing. Again, this is why I love the Bible, because this is someone in a specific time, a specific place, and feeling what they feel and then wrote it down. Inspired by God, but still vulnerable to say it is a mess at times with the divine. Thank God, because I feel that as well. And I think I'm in great company. So what he's saying here is this. Like, the world is going to be a mess. It's going to go up and down. Your life is going to go like all-time high to all-time low. And I know there's people in this room, you're sitting next to each other on both ends. But he says there's a gift from God. And what is that gift? Eat, drink, and enjoy your job. Let me pause to my sober friends here, right? To my sober friends. There is no way is the Bible insinuating to give the good life you have to drink wine or beer or some gin. No way. Right? At no point. I celebrate your decision to pursue a healthy life. All this person is saying, he's saying, like, just be at the table. Breathe. Thinking about this and feeling this, those are all normal. You're going to feel and think those things maybe for the next 2 days, maybe for the next 2 weeks, maybe for the next 2 decades. But in the midst of that, can you just be at this table with me? Can you be at this table with your family? Can you be at this table with yourself and just enjoy the mac and cheese that you made? Can you enjoy, like, the leaves? Even though they all blow off, can you just enjoy that one that no one else is looking at? You're the only one to look at that leaf, and can you find joy in that? Can you, for a moment at your job, as everything's going around, the TSR reports, we need them, can you just pause and just say, God, thank you for this job? Like, we can do that. And he's saying that's a gift. It's an actual gift to be present. So how can we, oh no, this is good. Right, put the next slide up, right? So the byproduct of this is run away, the pastor is coming. And I put this in here specifically because there is people that I run into that were a part of a community, are part of a community, and transition out. And I'll go up and say, hey man, how are you? I haven't seen you for a while. Like, we're at Super One and you can see them, like, they make eye contact and they're like, run to the other aisle, all right? Hide behind the chips, right? So, and here's the thing, I get it. If you view that to get in on the good life, you have to come to this church at this time and never miss anything, and you don't do it, and you miss 2 weeks, you miss 2 months, you miss a year, there's gonna be some shame. Because there's this expectation that we need to play. There's this expectation of, like, I need to perform so everyone knows how great I am, and if I perform at this level, then I get in on the good things. And so when they see the pastor, they're sometimes reminded, I'm a bad person. I'm a bad Christian because I don't go to church right now. And when I engage you, friends, and I call you, I text you, I get it. It's like getting called by the principal and your kid is never like, I just want to hang out and talk with you and see how you're doing, right? No, the principal's like, you're in trouble. You know that. When I engage the people in my community, I want you to flourish. I want to champion you to grow as a woman or as a man. I want you to thrive as a human being. I really do. And I hopefully you're never going to hear anything of like, well, why haven't you been in church? Don't you love me? Right? And sometimes that's where people start. But if that means there's a season in your life that you're traveling for your kids' hockey tournaments for weekends, I want you to do that. If that means you really are going to sleep in because you are exhausted, I want you to do that. If there's a time where you're like, I am filled with anxiety, I need to take a couple months and just do yoga, or I need to take a couple months and just go for a walk on Sunday morning, I want you to do that, friends. I hope I'm inviting you in this. I want you to be a part of something beautiful. Again, I love this church. I love this community. And we're doing this. Nikki and I were just talking about all the political and all these bombing and fear. Just there's so much fear. We're like, this is why we planted a church. This is why we do what we do, because fear never wins. Hate never wins. It feels like it at times, right? Love always wins. So how can we actually do this then? Right? Giving you a lot of reasons of why we avoid it, why it's hard. So how can we actually like do the spiritual practice of enjoyment? Because it is a practice to have fun, especially for some of you, right? So the real serious people here, right? Or you call number one on the Enneagram. We're like, no, we really have to get it done. It's like, this will be very good for you and very hard. You will fight this in your core. Because you can't just say, today I'm having fun. Ha, 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 ha. Right? People are going to lock you up. Just walk in the restaurant. Are we having fun? I am. Right? No one do that. Actually do that. Take a picture and send it to me, all right? So how can you do it? The first one is this, is put the fork down. Take the fork, put it down. This is a running joke in my family. My sister Tara, who is significantly older than me, I always remind her, right? She made Thanksgiving dinner for the first time, and she spent like 8-10 hours on it and got the house ready. And there's like 30 of us that show up, 40 of us that show up at Thanksgiving. And we all show up like, hey, Tara, this is great. Let's start, you know, we're going to pray. And then we eat, and in 5 minutes, we're all done. We're like, oh, what are we doing next? And Tara just sat there with her mouth and like, you guys didn't even breathe. You didn't even chew. And so she's like, next year we're all putting our fork down. And that's her joke. Is that Thanksgiving? You got to put the fork down. You bite and you put it down and you look at Tara and you're like, ha 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 ha, I'm having fun, Tara. Like we need to slow down, friends. We need to slow down. We need to chill out. That's what Ecclesiastes is saying, is you can be driven, you can do all these things, but just eat something. Slow down, enjoy a cup of coffee, enjoy a drink with your friends, clink some glasses, like just pause. You driving 80 miles per hour in the school zone is not going to get you home to anything that much better. That's, right? Those 4 minutes you saved is not going to be like 4 minutes of bliss. Like, whoa! It's not. You're going to walk in and say, oh, we didn't do the dishes. Just, you have to pause. I was at a retreat a couple weeks ago, and I love my retreats. I'm a 3 in the Enneagram, which means like I'm a high achiever. I always want to win, like win, 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 which might mean I'm going to cheat, but I won. Hey! And I've had to practice this for like the past 5 years of slowing down, chilling out. And I went to this cabin, which is beautiful, but I like to move. I like to go kayaking. I like to go for a run, and it rained the whole time. So I had to sit in this little cabin and just look out the window, and it just was like someone was like poking my eye with like a fork, right? Like, eh. But I paused, and I'm like, for the next half hour, I'm just going to just be still, and I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to let my brain do all its crazy things, and guys, it was like prison. I've never been there, but I don't think that's fun. It was hard, but you know what? After about 20 minutes, honestly, 20 minutes of me like, I began just to rest and receive. If you want to experience joy, you want to have fun, you want to be content, you want to be here, the number one thing you have to do is start being okay with being bored. Get bored. Allow yourself to be bored. It's not an enemy. Second thing then, is once you slow down, is take a toleration inventory. I love doing this. My wife gives a great talk about this, toleration inventory. And essentially, is tolerate means not something that you're actively against, like it's horrible, but something you just kind of put up with. Right, like that little railing by your door, and you grab it, and it like moves around a little bit, and you're like, oh, someday I will fix that, but not today. Right, you just tolerate it, or you have like for us when we had our first house, our father-in-law says, hey, you know what you want to do? You're gonna put the doors on your pantry. You're like, oh, we'll do it. And he looked at us like, guess what? We got to sell the house 8 years later. Dick had to come put the door on the pantry. It's like, oh yeah, we just tolerated it. What do you tolerate in your life? What do you tolerate in your body? You're like, oh, I should lose 10 pounds. Okay. Oh, I should probably go see a therapist because I just tolerate my anxiety. Okay. I have that pain in my shoulder, but I'm too busy to go to the doctor. It's too complicated. Right? And it's maybe not killing you, but it's like you just, every time you think about that pain in your shoulder, every time you think about going to see the therapist, you're like, oh, I'm just, not today. It's just like a paper cut. It doesn't hurt too bad at first, but after like 3 years of doing that, it takes its toll. What do you tolerate? How about this one? What friendships do you tolerate? This is really good. Especially to my friends who are like in their like 30s and 40s, and you've had like the same circle of friends, and we're like, we're gonna raise our kids together, and we're gonna be best friends forever. For some of you, that's wonderful. For a lot of you, it doesn't work anymore. Right? And we feel guilty. We're like, no, we did vacations, we did birthdays, and now you're a little bit older and things have changed. And here's the thing, I'm not saying like light their house on fire and say, you're dead to me, all right? Not that. What I'm saying is, when you walk away from hanging out with your friends or hanging out with that couple or hanging out with that person, when you walk away, do you feel life? Do you feel noticed? Do you feel heard? Do you walk away saying, and you just want to text them like, I thank God for you. And if you don't, and we've all been there. And you walk away and you're like, oh, you feel beat up. You feel exhausted. You feel like you just have a smile all the time. Yeah, or, ha, 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 I'm having fun, right? That's my new joke, right? You might be tolerating it. And that might not mean like never talking to them again, but it might mean you begin to look a little bit further up and say, all right, who could be in my circle? Or whose circle could I be in that could actually add value to my life, that is going through the same sort of like disorder, is going through the same sort of curiosity, who's like believes similar thoughts as me? And you're like, it may even feel scandalous to think of like, well, there's other friends? Yes, there is. There is. So take an inventory. And a lot of us, we positive, like, well, no, I have to be loyal. You're not being disloyal by saying, who else is out there? What a beautiful thing. Right? The next one is this. I love you, hot water. Start practicing saying, I love you, hot water. I've never met anyone that's angry when they turn the shower on and there's hot water. And we're like, oh, this sucks, right? All I'm saying is this, practice gratitude. Practice gratitude and say it. We are great in Minnesota just to think, like silently judge people. We are so good at, right? But we'll even like think things like, I really appreciate that person. I really like that person. And we don't ever say it. Like walk around. And when you experience something beautiful, say, I love you, hot water, right? I love you, fall leaves. I love you, sky. I love you, Bill. Bill might be like, what's going on right now? I love you, God. How about this one? I love you, Chris. Saying it to yourself. Practice gratitude. Say thank you. Say I love you. Say you're beautiful. I bring this up all the time, friends, because your words matter. All right, next one is this. You guys ever seen this before? This is how we can experience. A spiritual practice of joy. This is called Calvin Ball. Calvin Hobbes was a favorite comic strip of mine as a kid, and now my kids are reading it, and so we can kind of like laugh and geek out about it together. And Calvin Ball is Calvin Hobbes, and there's only one rule in Calvin Ball: you can never play it the same way twice. That's it. And some of you right now, like the Enneagrams and the Ones, you're like thinking, all right, there's rules, and we have to follow the rules, and we have to stick with the rules. And then if you're a three, you're like, I'm going to change the rules so I can cheat, which I'll just call taking advantage, which I mean win, all right? And Calvin Ball, anytime you can say, you can change the game, you can change the objective, you can change the rules, you can change the boundaries, it's just meant to play. That's it. The object game is not to win, it's to play. If you want to experience joy, you have to start playing. And play is like you're like, I don't like to play. Okay, then don't play like someone else. Play what you need to play. Because when you engage in playing, which could be gardening, which could be getting on the ground with your kids or your nieces, it could be playing a pickup hockey game, it could be doing a puzzle with someone else, it engages your brain in something else of where you are saying, I am doing this to enjoy. Do it on purpose. And the last one is this. If you want to experience joy, include. Include. There's times where we have to do it alone and you need that time to yourself. I'm not saying become an extrovert. What I'm saying is who else around you, even if you looked around right now, like who else could benefit from going on a walk? Who here just looks like they could just benefit from someone laughing with them? Who could benefit from a good meal? Who'd like want to go? Anita Davis, one of my favorite people. I just saw the other day. She just put on Facebook to like the whole world and saying, "Who wants to go to a movie?" And I'm like, "What is wrong with you?" I don't like going to movies with anyone. I mean, with you, honey, Nikki, my wife. I love going to movies with you, right? But like, I'm like, "Well, who do you know is going to show up? Like, what if this random person shows up?" And it's like, "Oh, I'm never going to exclude. Exclusion is fear. Exclusion is hate. Exclusion is, I would even define, maybe even a sin. But when we transcend and we grow and we become woke to the things around us, we always include. Include someone at your table. Include someone in your car. Include someone to laugh. And friends, if we can do this in all of life, we can actually, as Ecclesiastes say, we can be present at the table to eat, drink, and enjoy. Let's stand. So, I'm going to pray. And we pray not just to wrap up, because it's a good way to have you stand up so you can leave, right? We pray because we really believe that the divine absolutely loves us. And that God is not somewhere distant. He's not in some temple. But God is here. You'll hear us say often, "Holy Spirit, come." We don't believe that the Holy Spirit is like in some other church, like at the Journey. And then when we say, "Holy Spirit, come," it leaves that and comes here, right? We're just saying, we are aware that you are good, and we're aware that you love us, and we want more. So if you're feeling any of the feels, you're feeling good, you're feeling hard, you're feeling heaven-ish experiences, or you're experiencing hellish experiences, as I pray, just receive. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Will you come? And I thank you for what the Ecclesiastes, just the vulnerability, the honesty, the rawness of saying, the world is going to go anywhere it wants to go. But I choose to be present. I choose to say yes. So I pray for my friends who feel fear, who feel anxiety, who feel stress, who feel boredom, who are feeling pain in their body for like, they're just sick and tired of feeling it. Will you come? And give us what we need just to be present with you and even with ourselves. Yeah, I pray for my friends who just beat themselves up in their head of, "You're a loser, you're fat, you're lazy, you'll never win, you'll never be enough." Just, God, will you even just, even now, just like turn that from like an 11 all the way down to like a 2. That we can experience kindness in our minds, we can experience kindness in our bodies. Come. And help us invite others into that joy, invite others into that contentness, and invite others into that how to be here. Help us be here with the people around us. We love you so much. Thank you for being good. Amen. So I'm going to invite our ministry team to come on up. And there's two things I'm going to invite you to. And you can come up for anything. Two things I feel specifically. The first one is this, what I mentioned earlier, you're in a hard place. When I talk about experiencing hellish things, that's you, and you're like, yeah, I'm in a hard place with anxiety, you're in a hard place with grief, you're in a hard place just with yourself. Like, the people up here would love the opportunity to pray for you. You don't have to do it alone. And the second thing is this, and this might be for a lot of people here, or maybe it's just for one, and you can take it or leave it, but you need hope. You need hope for your friendships. You need hope for your marriage. You're here and you just lost all hope. I don't know who that's for. You could take or leave. That's you. If you come up as a couple, you come up as a friend, or you come up alone and saying, "I would love to have hope again, but it is like a red balloon floating in the sky." We'd love to pray for you. We're going to worship for the next couple minutes. We'll see you tonight at the tailgate party, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.